Morning. Good to see you. Good to see you. It's good to be here. It's great. It's it's wonderful to hear Mark talk about the church being the church. It's great. It's a great thing. The church being the church doesn't just happen here. It happens all over the globe, right? So the capital C church. Right across the globe, reaching out to people that we may never meet, that we may never see, that may never hear of. But next week, we get a chance to hear of some of that. So next week during the service, there's a couple of people, Allison and James, will be coming. And they are missionaries to Thailand who deal with helping and rescuing people from human trafficking, help build low-cost housing, all of those types of things to bring the kingdom of God to people who have no way of reaching out and grabbing the kingdom of God for themselves, right? So this couple has a link to the church here through Matt Wahlberg, right? So this is a Pemberton link couple. Right? So even if it's a tenuous link, it's still there. So it's not just people that are parachuting in out of the blue. They have a link to this community. And they're going in the early part of December with their two young boys and moving to Thailand to outreach amongst this people group that's being picked off one by one. So they need prayer. Right? They also need financial support, but they also want churches who will commit to them, who say, we are with you on the mission field, right? So please, please grab your friends, grab your neighbor's dog, bring your parrot. I don't care what you bring. Like, come next week to listen to this couple's story, all right? And encourage them by being here. Also next week, we've got Jeremy coming as well, and he'll lead worship. They're going to speak, and I'm going to cheer on. We'll have communion together. So there's a lot going on next week's service. But it'll be a great time together. On Saturday night, please, if you love worship, if you love worshiping, just come. All right? Because sometimes it's just good to sit with a bunch of musicians who are discussing some things about worship and learning new things about worship. So that when people are leading and when people are doing stuff, we think, oh, right, I know why they're doing that. Right? And it just helps you to lean in more to what's happening. So really encourage you to come and do that. I've seen Jeremy, and I was chatting to Natalie last night about this. I've seen Jeremy lead worship with 8 people. And I've seen him stand up in front of 3,000 people to lead worship. And he's the same with 8 as he is with 3,000. There is no difference. I've also seen him lead worship between vomiting. Like, truly. Like, the guy was so ill. So ill. And like, I know you're sitting there thinking, oh, why didn't I get somebody else to do it? There was nobody else. Right? We were up in Inuvik. There was nobody else. And he'd committed to lead worship that morning and stood up, sang two songs, then looked at his friend, said, okay, I'll be back. Just ran up, threw up, came back, picked up his guitar, and just kept going. And I think, I can work with somebody like that, right? Like, you know, like it's just a wonderful privilege to be around people like that. These are great people. So if you can come, just come, and we'll eat together as well during the evening. So if you don't come for anything else, come for the food. All right, it's good, but it'll be a wonderful time. If you've got a Bible, grab it quickly. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, you might be thinking, hang on a minute, what happened to chapter 4? We'll go there, don't worry. All right, we'll skip back and forth between the two. It's a good thing. Have you ever in your life, maybe as a younger person, as a child or something, ever been told, don't do, don't do that, don't do, don't? Does anybody else have it run through their brain, or is it just me that, okay, what can I do then? You know, have you ever thought like that? And often we can think of the Bible as a bunch of things that you don't do this, you can't do, you know, 10 commandments, don't. You think that's all it is. Ephesians is written as this wonderful letter, and in chapter 5, we find a little bit of a beginning of a sort of a list thing where Paul says, don't do this, but do this. Now, I like that as an option, all right? Because I don't like just being told don't, because it doesn't work, especially, my dad was a classic. Like, you say, don't do that. And I say, till I learnt better. Don't do that. And I go, why? And it, that's why. And I'm thinking, okay, note to self. Right? Note to self. Don't ask why. That's why. And so it wasn't a reason, right? It wasn't a reason. But Paul is not like that. He's not abusing people. He's not doing that. So he's saying, don't do this, but do this. Don't do this, but do this, right? And I can live with a world that gives me a but do this option. I can't live with a world that just says, do this, don't ask why. I think, there's something, don't do that to me. Give me a reason to do it. So let's read through it. We'll rip through this. Don't panic. We'll rip through it. So this is what it says in verse 15. If you've got a numbering system in your Bible, chapter 5, verse 15. This is what it says: be careful how you live. Don't be like fools. Isn't that a strange thing to say? Don't be like fools. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Don't be like a fool." Don't be like. Don't be like a. Isn't it great we can actually turn to people in church and say, don't be like a fool, even though Jesus said, don't call people rocker, you know? It's just great. Don't be like a fool. Don't act like a fool. And I'm thinking, when I read that, I say, yeah, great, wonderful. Yeah, but how? How? How do I not be like a fool? How do I not be like a fool? Be careful how I live. I want to be careful how I live. But how do I not be like a fool? But act like those who are wise. Don't be like a fool, but be like those who are wise. So what do we do? Sorry, I'm wearing a cardigan. So what do we do? Do we all go out and get baggy cardigans and grow beards and go, and read Freud? Like, what do we do? Like, what does it mean? Does it mean you act in a certain way, or does it mean, no, you try to live a different way? And it's not just talking about putting on an act. It's talking about changing the way that we live. That this book has to be more than just a theory. Has to be. It wouldn't have survived this long if it was just a theory. Right? It has to be more than a theory. So how do we actually do it? And it starts to give us this little list. You see, Paul doesn't just do this and then leave us hanging. He doesn't leave us clueless. He says, don't live like a fool. Live like those who are wise. And here's some hints. Right? Here's some hints. Like, don't be an idiot. Like, live like people who are wise. And here's some hints. Right? So we're going to get to the hints. Here we go. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. I don't know who it was who prayed because I didn't look around, but I think it was Doug. I think it was you who prayed about, who said, the world in which we're living, attacking the church and stuff. And we live in a time where faith in Jesus seems to be the only thing that you can have a hate crime against without being prosecuted. Like if you go on the internet and you scream abuse about any other people group, you'll be fined, you'll be dragged through the coals on the media and all that type of stuff. But if you go on there and just slang off Christians and slang off Jesus and mock that, then nobody does anything about that, right? So in the days in which we live, take every opportunity. What an incredible thought. Take every opportunity. Well, every opportunity to do what? To mock people, to slang them off, to smash their windows, like slash their tires, like what am I supposed to take an opportunity to? Not live like an idiot, so don't slash their tires. Take every opportunity in these evil days. And again, he says in verse 17, don't act thoughtlessly. Don't act thoughtlessly. Take every opportunity. Remember I said to you we wouldn't miss out chapter 4? Flip back to chapter 4, and this is what it says. Verse 1, therefore, I, this is Paul writing, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of the calling that you receive from God. You see, chapter 4 and chapter 5 run together. And when you read chapter 5, it's referring back to what's going on in chapter 4 all the time. And you can tie the verses together all the way through. It's a wonderful thing. So it's taking every opportunity. So you're living wise, living according to the calling that God's given you. Taking every opportunity. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Understanding what God wants you to do. Have you ever heard people quote the verse, "All things work together for good"? Because everybody always quotes it when the stuff has hit the fan, right? Everything goes wrong and people come up to you and go, "All things work together for good." Don't you? Right? "All things work together for good." I'm thinking, yeah, it's a nice Hallmark card, right? But there's times I just don't want to hear that. Like, and I know you're not like that, but... But like somebody comes up and says, "No, all things work together." I'm thinking, no, they don't. No, growl at them. All things work together for good. But finish the verse off. "All things work together for good for those that know the Lord and are called according to his purpose." Our problem is this, is that we don't know our purpose. So when we read a verse like this, when it says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what God wants you to do. If we don't know what God wants us to do, then we're going to end up acting thoughtlessly. Right? Do you see the correlation? They link together. So if I don't know what God wants me to do, I'm going to end up acting thoughtlessly in every single area of my life. That's what's going to happen. And I'm not going to know how to understand that things work together for good, for what the enemy meant to destroy me, to put me down, and to mess up my life. God didn't do that to me. The enemy did. But God comes along and goes, "Ha-ha, but I've got this recycling program. And I take all that stuff, all that junk, and I recycle it, and I make good out of it." And that's what he does in our lives. It's just this wonderful, wonderful system that he has. God's recycling service. And so when we understand what God is trying to do in our life, suddenly we can figure out how we are supposed to act. Now, flip back with me, if you will, to chapter 4 and verse 2. How are we supposed to act? Right? "Always be humble and stink. Always be humble and gentle. Be thank you for saying that, not making me say it. With each other, making allowances for each other's faults." That's how he wants it. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't know. You see, I don't want to be. I went to a guy's funeral, a young man in the town where I was pastoring before I came here, and they sang a song. And every time I hear it now on the radio, I listen to country music. I know it's sad, but there we go. And it's that song, "Always be humble and kind." That one. "Say yes, say please, say thank you. Da, 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 da. Always be humble and kind." And they played that about this guy. He was a big guy, but he was always humble and kind. That was his nature. And so they played that song, "Always be humble and kind." And I thought, and every time I read this verse, and I think of him. I just think of the funeral. Every time I hear the song, I think of him. And "always be humble and kind." And I think, if that's how God wants me to act, if I'm thoughtless, and if I'm not thoughtful about the way that I act, I'm not going to be humble and gentle. And I'm certainly not going to be P-word. I'm not going to go there. Why? Because it's not my nature to be. I'm too driven. Right? Like, we were talking about this the other day, me and them, and the elders, we were chatting about it. I write a list. I'm a list maker. Because at the end of the day, I need to know that I've achieved. And Mim often says to me in the evening, like, "Did you achieve today?" Because that's, I have to. And because of that, it makes me impatient with people who don't. Right? So I'm just warning you. It's what I was born with. So, but that's not how God wants me to act. He wants me to be gentle, humble and gentle and patient.
and on it, I don't want to be. Humble and gentle, okay. As long as I don't have to counsel people forever, then I'll be gentle. I don't want anybody to get hurt. It's good. I mean, I'm glad she phoned Martha Mary. I'm glad Marianne phoned Martha Mary. It was wonderful. I'd also like to point out she didn't phone Mark either. just putting that out there, all right? Like, just saying. I'm glad. Why? Because there's people you want on the end of the phone, and often I'm not it, right? Which is why God puts us in a body of people, so that there are people that you want on the end of the phone. But there are sometimes when somebody needs to be told the brutal truth in a non-brutal way. So phone my wife, all right? And the 3 o'clock in the morning phone calls, Mark's phone number is 604. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I do want to be gentle and humble, and I definitely don't want to be patient. But it keeps coming up all the time in the Bible, all the time. And so I know that that's something that God wants me to work on and God wants me to live towards. And if I don't, I will not be living according to how God wants me to live my life. We were wrapping up cables one day after an event. It was it wasn't here, wasn't in this church, it wasn't Dave. Just want to make sure that you know that. By the way, mentioning Dave, did anybody notice the Fu Manchu? It is awesome, all right? The Fu Manchu of Dave. On the way out of church today, I want you all to encourage him to keep that. And to maybe grow it out underneath and put beads in it. It'd be a wonderful thing. Because Linda would love that, I know. No, don't ask Linda. Don't, Dave. See, everybody wants you to. We should have a vote. So it wasn't Dave, but we were cleaning up after an event, and there was cables everywhere, cables, and so we were picking up cables and we were wrapping them up. Now, if you're not used to wrapping up cables, there is a certain way to do it. You don't just wrap it around your arm, right? But we had this very helpful guy who was helping, absolutely helping, and just wrapping them around his arm. I didn't see that. All I heard was, "You idiot!" That's all I heard. All I heard, right? That's what I'm saying. It wasn't Dave. All right, so I just heard this. "You idiot!" So I just turned around thinking they were talking to me because it's like my middle name. Idiot! So turned around at this. And it was one of the sound techs. And he shouted at this guy, "You idiot." Now he's a church sound tech. And I'm thinking, dude, really? The guy's trying to help. I know he's doing it wrong. But shouting "you idiot," I'm pretty sure, is a little bit thoughtless. You know what I mean? The guy's doing his best. Yes, he is a plank. He shouldn't be doing that. But so show him. Don't scream at the guy. But when we take our eyes off how God wants us to act, we will act thoughtlessly. We'll default to our nature. And then listen what it says next. Wonderful. We're going to rip through these. Don't panic. Don't panic. We're almost there. Don't panic. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be... I'm going to say that again. I'm not looking anywhere at all. Don't be drunk with wine. Why? Because it'll ruin your life. Right? It'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I have a really basic question. How do you get drunk with wine? Drink. You keep drinking it, right? You keep visiting the bottle. So how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? You keep visiting. If you keep revisiting the bottle, you're going to get hammered. If you keep revisiting the bottle, you will get hammered. If you keep revisiting the Holy Spirit, you will be filled. I didn't come up with that. Right? It's just a great thought. If you keep revisiting the bottle, you're going to get hammered. If I keep revisiting His Word and the author of the Word, I will be filled. That's what will happen. So the more time I spend praying, the more time I spend worshiping, the more time I spend reading my Bible, the more time I spend trying to figure out what God's will is for my life, the more he will fill me, the more he will change me. I love the fact that right next to this, the next verse is this, is sing songs. How many times have you been out late at night walking around a city, anywhere, or a town, and you've heard people singing, staggering? I've never, no, we won't go there. So like, you're just walking down the street, and what are they doing? They're singing. They're singing because they're hammered. But how cool is it if we have the Holy Spirit living in us and more and more and more freedom and power in our life? What then comes out of us? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I started an experiment one time, and I may have told you about this before, but I started to ask God, give me an anthem when I'm asleep. Like, let me wake up in the morning with a song in my head. Let me do that. Let me wake up in the morning like that. I'm not a good sleeper. I'm quite troubled in my sleep. So I said, okay, God, when I wake up in the morning, like, let me have a good song. Let me have a good song. And it becomes an anthem for a day or for a week. And what's surprising is the things that he puts there. Right? Like, just bizarre thing. Like spiritual songs. I don't wake up in the morning going, walk this way, darling. It's a great song. Great singer. But, you know, so I'm not doing that. But like, I woke up one morning and I the first thing, the very first thought came in my head when I woke up in the morning was a mighty fortress is our God. A mighty fortress. I'm not even sure I know the hymn. But I must have at some point in my existence on earth heard that. And I was chatting to an old lady on the prairies, and I said, you know, I woke up this week and I started singing this hymn. She said, you know, I've been playing that on my piano. I've been playing it on my piano. And I went, really? I said, I wonder if I heard it walking past your house then. Because it was a tiny town, there's only 200 people in the whole town. So you could hear everything everybody did. You flushed your toilet, everybody knew, right? So you could hear, and I just wondered if maybe when I was walking past her house, I heard this name, mighty fortresses, our God. I don't even know anything other than, that's the only line I know. I don't know anything else, but it's stuck in my brain. That's over 2 years ago, and I still remember it. Why? Because if we're asking God to do things in our life, songs, hymns, psalms, spiritual songs come into our life and they become anthems for us. In times of trouble, they become anthems for us. And they move what's happening in our life. They move us. And that's it's a wonderful, wonderful thing about worship. When we're singing here, we're not just blurting out tunes. We're asking God, come on, like, do something with this music. Do something with these words in me. Like do it. Do something in me. Making songs to God's heart. Living the way he wants me to live. So my homework for this week, then, is, number one, to ask God to give me anthems. Let me wake up in the morning. Just have an experiment. Pray it. Say, God, Just give me an anthem this week, like, or tomorrow morning. Let me walk up with a good tune in your head. I know what Phil Reed will wake up with, a football song in his head. So, but you'd be amazed what you wake up with, right? The second thing is this, and this is a bit of a dare. I dare you to pray that this week God will highlight opportunities. I have to be very careful when I say this because I'm going to pray it, and I'm really not sure that I want him to answer. You ever prayed prayers like that? I know this is the right thing to pray. I'm really not sure that I want you to answer. What if we had the guts to pray? God, make me aware of situations that I am in where I need to be humble, gentle, and patient. I will never do that in public again. Okay, so what if, put me in a situation where you highlight in my life where I need to be gentle, humble, and patient with somebody so that it covers up their flaws. This is not an uphill prayer. This is not a prayer that gives me the right to say to anybody else, you have to be humble and gentle with me and patient so that you don't see my flaws. It's not an uphill prayer. This is a downhill prayer. This is a God-like quality that God does to us, and it flows downhill. So it must flow downhill from me. Do you understand? It's not downhill in order of importance. It's just that's the way it flows. I can't say as a belligerent kid, because there's teenagers in the room, I want to be really careful. You can't turn around to your parents this week and say, I know I did wrong, but you've got to forgive me because that guy said you've got to. Right? It's not an uphill. It's not like that. It's a downhill thing, right? God, help me to understand when I'm in a situation where I have to be humble, gentle, and patient, and let it cover somebody else's faults, just like he does mine every second of the day. So stand with me, if you will, and we'll pray together. And you don't need to pray this with me if you don't want to, but I think it's a good prayer. I'm not sure I want him to answer it, though. So, Father, as we stand in front of you here this morning, this has convicted me over and over and over again as I've looked at this passage. And as we've been working through Ephesians, and I knew that this chapter was coming, it has bothered me a lot. And, Father, honestly, openly before you this morning, I almost pray through gritted teeth that you would make me aware when I'm in situations where I need to be more gentle, more humble, and where I need to be patient, and allow you to cover up other people's flaws. As you cover up mine, and as they cover up mine, all the flaws that I have, and all the faults that I have, as you don't judge me for them, help me to be humble and gentle and patient, and forget other people's faults, only because you love me. And only because you love us. And Father, we need your Holy Spirit in us to do that. But we ask you to do that for us this week. In Jesus' name, let it become a life habit for us. Amen.
Close with